Good morning, and welcome to a new series that we're going to start today, albeit a brief one. We are going to talk about the book of Ruth in a few weeks, but as I prepared for this, I really wasn't ready to teach the book of Ruth, so I'm still digging into some things that I think we need to uncover there. And so today I've been led to begin a very short series, probably three sessions, talking about the rest of faith. Not rest as in what remains, but the rest, being able to repose, being able to have peace about where we are. And so I've given you some clues about what we're going to be into with those two words. Now, today we're going to begin talking about, am I fighting, am I standing, or am I sitting? Those positions or those postures. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, I thank you that your desire for us is that we be a people of rest in our faith towards you. I thank you that you desired to lead the children of Israel into rest. And as our example, I thank you that you're going to reveal what caused them problems so that we don't have to go through the same things. So today, Father, we just welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we say to you, come teach us. Reveal the Word, the living Word of God to us, and we declare, as you do, we will be changed, and we will never be the same again. And it's in that precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, the first chapter, and I want to read four verses to you, because this really is my heart, my desire for you, as well as myself. And I think it really forms the basis of everything that we're teaching. In Colossians, the first chapter, the third verse, Paul writing to them says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always." And then he goes on in verse 4 and says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." And that's my prayer, is that people hear of our faith in the Lord Jesus and the love that we have for God's people, for our body, I might even say. And it's because verse 5 says, "Of the hope that is laid up for us in heaven, which we previously heard in the word of truth." So here is hope, which is coming how? Through the word. And that's an important connection. "Which has come to you, just as in all the world, and it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." And that's my prayer, that people will hear about what you are doing, and it gives glory to God, not to yourself. And that in doing that, what? Our faith is productive. It is producing results, not only for us, but for others. Verse 10, "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects." And here's that phrase again, "bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so that just really puts together and summarizes what I'm after today in studying, beginning to study this rest of faith, or the rest of faith that we're going to be talking about. You know, growing. When we grow, when we accomplish the kind of things that are talked about here, increasing, as it says, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, then there are going to be times when we go through some tough times, some trials or tests or whatever words you put on them. Now, I don't believe that the Lord tests us with negative at all, with evil things. But we are tested to see and prove ourselves in the obedience of the faith. And so it's in these difficult times that I believe we really grow. If everything I asked for happened instantly, I'm not sure how much we would really grow. And so it's in that time of when we're being resisted that I think we have the most opportunity for growth, and thus keeping on that flight pattern of increasing and hearing good things about your faith and your love and all those things we just talked about, walking in that manner that's pleasing to Him. And you know, that's not really any different from weightlifting. We lift weights and they provide resistance to our muscles to so that we can move. I can remember my dad, who many of you knew, was a football coach. And early in his career, when I was under 12, one of the big things was resistance training. And he built this thing in the backyard with two posts and an iron bar in it and holes so that I could adjust it. And I was supposed to hold that bar and do like I'm doing curls and just tense up and try to move that thing. Well, I obviously couldn't. But it was through that resistance that he believed I would develop the muscles I needed to do the things that I had desired to do, and I'm sure he did too, in an athletic field. I never did get very strong, to be honest about it. And today we actually know that the resistance training is better when you have resistance that moves. So again, God's not testing us with evil, but the things do come against us that are tests so that we might prove our faith. So let's talk about really the subject of today, fighting, standing, or sitting. Some scenarios that we may find ourselves in during difficult times. How about find ourselves fighting, we say, the good fight of faith. But what often happens there? We might end up, and we're going to talk about each one of these in a little more detail, we might end up fighting with our own flesh. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not what we are about. Or we may get to fighting, seems like, with God, trying to convince Him or pry out of His hand with our faith that which has been promised to us. And I've said to you before, if He's holding something in His hand that He doesn't want to give, we're not going to pry it out. And what did we see in the study of favor? He is bending over, stooped, with an open hand, ready to bless us. So that's some of what we may encounter as we are going through this walk of faith. Or we fight that good fight, we don't see anything, so we just say, well, I guess we're just going to have to stand. And we stand, and we stand, and we stand, resisting the devil. And if we're not careful, we can end up moving from a place where we're standing firm, as Scripture tells us, to where we're doing some weird things and thinking some thoughts that are not scriptural. And don't look at me as if I'm different now, because I know every one of you, as well as myself, have encountered these types of situations. And then someone like me will come along and say, now, hey, remember, you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places with that authority. And so we go back and we try to sit there. But we may be restless because we've been fighting, we've been standing, we've got to feel like we're doing something. And so we want to talk about those three postures. But then someone may come along and say, man, you just got to rest. And I'll be honest with you, for a long time, and I do not think I'm alone in this, I didn't have the first clue what it meant about resting in faith. And again, I just don't think that the body of Christ is well trained in that. So, there are times when I find myself trying to figure out, do I need to be fighting? Do I need to be sitting? Do I need to be standing? What do I need to do? And what about this resting? So, when that happens, what has normally happened for me is I find myself getting frustrated, which implies a loss of hope. And you know, we just read in verse 5 here, because of the hope laid up for us. So there's hope waiting that we never should lose. Or I get to feeling overwhelmed, feeling like the enemy or seeing him as looming larger. And I've told you before, we never let our problem appear larger than our God. And then I need to think, why did this happen? Or what did I do? Or what do I need to do? Or why won't God? And those are not places we want to be. And then my pride gets involved. And I begin to think about, well, what do others think about me? Well, gosh, you're supposed to be a person of faith. And look at you. And what am I doing? I'm just changing my perspectives to myself. And before long, I'm almost feeling shame or ashamed of what's going on with me. But Romans 9:33 say, we who believe on him will not be ashamed. So there's some comfort in that, but we don't understand how we get there. But finally, I think I find myself questioning, do I have enough faith? And I'm learning when I am in faith and when I am not in faith. And let me just say that if you're feeling some of these things starting out, what do I do? How do I do it? When do I do it? And you're questioning, well, I'm believing, but you're questioning those things. I think it's time to take a step back and get in the Word and just refresh ourselves so that we can start out in that faith. Because what have we seen? Those type of actions are not evidence or proof of faith. Now, I'm going to say one more time. I know I say this a lot. This is when you need a faith buddy. And I want to strongly encourage you in this. Someone who will speak the Word of God to you, tell you what you need to hear, not tickle your ears or give you some fluffy thoughts that will make you feel better about yourself, but doesn't cause a change. And we need that, because that's quite often how the Lord will use people to get us back where we need to be. Think about Joshua and Caleb. We talked about them in Give Me My Mountain, that long series that we did, and how often they must have talked and encouraged each other. You remember what the Lord said to us? You remember how he said, we're going to go through, everybody else may not, me and you. Me and you, Joshua, Caleb would say, we're going through there. And so that is really, a faith buddy is a gift from God. And I appreciate this more than ever, because I've had a few of these gentlemen who have been my faith buddies pass away in recent months. And it just makes me appreciate all the more when I have those types of people in my life who I can just totally depend on. So let me tell you, I have come to the conclusion that I can't, or even I won't, fight effectively, stand strong in resisting. I can't stay seated knowing, as I should know, unless I really learn how to rest. And so that's the whole subject of these 3 weeks together. Mark Hankins, who I have a lot of respect of, a minister I listen to, says, before you can stand against the wiles of the devil, and that's important, his thoughts, the one road, you remember, Hodos, the one road to your mind that we've talked about before. He says that you can't stand against the wiles and the devil and walk in the Christian walk, meaning a walk of faith, a standing in faith, until you learn how to sit. And he ties sitting a lot with resting. But I believe it's a little bit different and a step further. And what I want to say to you is that Watchman Nee, who I'm reading a book of his again, and it's entitled Sit, Stand, and Walk. It's basically taking Ephesians, first two chapters for sitting, 3 and 4 for walking, and 5 and 6 for standing, and saying these are things we do. And the whole point of this is that quite often we want to jump into that walking or walking in faith or doing something or even standing for it when we've not prepared ourselves in sitting. And so I think that sitting, as you'll see, leads to a rest, but I see it a little bit differently. We need to learn to be at rest in each of those three positions. So, what does all this have to do with you and I? Well, we must learn, I think, how to be at rest. And so that's going to raise a question about what exactly does that look like? So I want to do in today's session is take a look at what it is not. Some things that we see ourselves getting into that indicates we are not at rest. So go to 1 Timothy 6th chapter, 1 verse, verse 12. One that we know. And it starts out and just says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, let me read you a couple of other translations. The Bible in basic English says, be fighting the good fight of faith. That sounds like that this may be something that we're going to have come against us, and we're going to have to use our faith to fight, to put us in that right position to receive what we want to. And isn't that how we receive everything from heaven? Is through our faith? Another translation says, fight with faith to win the prize. The Williams translation says, keep up the good fight of faith. So that says that's something that we really don't want to quit, even when we start standing, probably. So in this phrase here, fight the good fight of faith, the word fight literally indicates a struggle. It really describes an athlete contending for a victory or to win the prize. Now it goes on and tells us some things that I believe we will do during a good fight of faith. It says, take hold of eternal life. Now, let me just read the rest of it. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So it's something that what? That we take hold of that eternal life, which is, Jesus said in John 17:3, knowing God, and it's not letting go of it. But it's also involving professions that we made and that we make. So lay hold on, take hold. You know, we often hear let go and let God. And I understand what people are getting to. Let go of trying to do our own works. But Scripture tells us over and over, take hold of, lay hold of. And that's what I believe we need to be doing. That literally means to get a good grip on, to seize it. I would say to seize it and to be at a point where we are confident in Him and His Word. Now, take hold on the eternal life to which you were called. Now, that again ties back into me to an image in the Old Testament where the word for hope and wait literally means to take hold of a rope, something that is twisted. And it's like you're going to take hold of that and not let go. And you're probably going to just, over time, pull it in. And what we're doing there is reeling in the promise. It's just like we would throw a safety line with a little float on it to someone who needed it. And they could grab hold of that, hold on, and then we could pull them to the desired place. And in our new covenant, hope really means joyful or confident expectation. So there's that word again, confidence, and that brings joy. And so laying hold of the eternal life really takes us into that position we are seated in with Him, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But for so many people, fighting the good fight of faith, they think is just getting to heaven. I believe it's about how we live life here, so that we walk and receive those promises that we've been given. Now, you may know 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, which basically says, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen, or so be it. Yet, if we're honest, most of the time we don't see the immediate results of our first fight of faith. And again, this is something I think we all face. So now let's just go to Ephesians 6, to that second posture. In Ephesians 6, we're going to read actually verses 11 through 14. It says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to, and I'm reading New American Standard, it says, stand firm against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. Now, schemes or wiles are really talking about the way he attacks us. Hodos, that word for road, one word to your mind. So this is what we are often resisting. This is what we're often fighting against in that fight of faith that we have. He goes on and says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And then he lists all the powers and elements of darkness that we are fighting against, spiritual darkness. But I want to say something to you about that first part of it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against people. But what I want you to see today is it's also not against yourself. That our fight, our struggle, isn't with ourselves. It is with the spiritual enemy that we have. And then he says in verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor. He's telling you to take it up, that he's already given us, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, here's that phrase again, to stand firm. 14, that verse about putting on the elements of the armor, actually starts off saying, stand firm. So, standing. The word there is histemi, H-I-S-T-E-M-A-I. And Thayer's lexicon says it literally means to stand and to persist, continue, and even persevere. But you'll note, the best image, I think, is standing firm. It's actually a military term. It means to hold your ground or position. No turning back, in other words. And that's what 2 Timothy 4:2, when it says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out. My New American Standard says, be ready, in season and out. But it literally means, stay on your post, where you've been assigned, and do your job. Now, if we're in the military, there's no option. And that ought to be the same life that we live today as we're submitting to Jesus. So with this standing, have you ever found yourself just resisting and resisting and resisting? Resisting and standing have a little different connotation. Because I have found myself, if I'm tempted to do something that I know is not the desire of the Lord, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. And where is my whole focus changed? On me, on my flesh, and quite often I fail. Or, if I'm not careful, this is the area where the devils get to seem like they're real big and powerful in my life, instead of what? Focusing on a defeated foe who is just trying to deceive us. And if I'm not careful, then I'm going to fall back into fighting frustration, which means losing hope, tired, weary, worrying, anxiety rises. And those things right there will produce health issues for us. Persecutions too, and the bodies react to this. It seems like we're making no progress at all, so what do? I'm just going to grit my teeth and get through it. Now, do you notice the key words there? I'm just going to. We're not focusing on what the Word's going to do for us, what the Lord's going to do, if we get back to ourselves. So now let's go to Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. And where are we? Where do we talk about people tell us we need to go? And where do I suggest that we start with, just as Brother Mark and Watchman Nee do? It's that position of seated. So in verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. So I'm going to purport to you that while we are seated, those two things, and when we're seated and we're fighting a battle or standing and fighting, that's those two elements of his mercy and his love are something we need to keep in the forefront of our thoughts. It says in 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Something we didn't do. We didn't earn it. And we've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we've done that so in order to the ages to come, he might show us. Now, that's not just, we said, talking about favor. That's not just showing us. That's showing us so that we can go ahead and receive it. And how do we receive it? By fighting the good fight of faith, by standing for it, by knowing from our seated position we have authority to receive it, the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So we are to see these manifestations of his surpassing riches. Yet, again, if we're honest, they don't come instantaneously. And we're going to talk some more even next 2 weeks about that. And some will never see results. But yet we see here when we're seated that in our position of authority at the Father's right hand, we see that we're in a place where we should be able to, but again, we may not. Now, let me talk about an example that I have learned from athletics. And it's true whether you're playing a contact game like football, it's true where you're playing basketball, and it's even more true, I found, in the game of golf. When you tense up, when you focus on, I've got to do this, I've got to react this way, if this happens, I need to, if that's all you do is run your mind, then you're going to run yourself right into the ground. When you tense up in golf, you can't hit a ball straight or a long ways. You've got to be relaxed. You can't be thinking about what everybody else and am I going to be ashamed. You've got to be focused in this endeavor. And when you do, you'll be a champion. And that's what Scripture tells us we are. It says in Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So there's going back to that love. So there's something about his mercy, his love that we need to keep in the forefront when we are fighting. But the thing I think we're really missing deals with rest. And I really believe this. Where we're going is that we need to learn how to rest in our seated position, in our fight of faith, and while we stand. There is a rest that we can attain to. So what I want to do the rest of our time together today is learn how, by looking at what rest doesn't mean, how to not do it, let's learn from the children of Israel, because Scripture tells us that we've been given these examples so that we can learn. So let me ask you a question about them. And that Scripture is in 1 Corinthians 10:11. So looking at the children of Israel, and I'm going to try to draw some analogies to you and I. We were redeemed. We just saw that. And raised up with Jesus and seated with him. Do you see them as being redeemed? Now, when we were redeemed, we are redeemed from something, but we're also redeemed to. And so there is a destination that we are to get to. And I see destinations a lot of times as a manifestation. And wasn't that the case with the children of Israel? Can you see how they were delivered from bondage in Egypt? Can you see this as a type of salvation? Now, when they did they rejoice in a big way? Yes, remember almost a whole chapter given to going across and playing the tambourine and celebrating. But what happened? Within 3 days, when they didn't get to their destination, when they didn't see a manifestation, they just, I will say it this way, went bonkers. And did they have a destination? Did they have something that was going to be manifested to them? Yes, it was the promised land. And it's interesting to note, the Lord called that a place of rest for them. But it didn't come immediately, and it wasn't being withheld by God. So what happened in between that time when they crossed, and it turned a 15-day trip, a two-week trip, into 40 years? 40 years in the wilderness. So let me have a conversation with you about wilderness. Wilderness, I would purport, is that area, that space we go through during times of trials. More specifically, when our faith is tried. And the question that I would ask you is, if we are trying to do that and we fall back into all the things we saw earlier, are we able to grow? Because that is the only reason that the trip was going to take a few weeks, is for the Lord to prove to them during those couple of weeks all he wanted to do for them. Yet what? They did not believe his word. Now, Wilderness, we think of as a terrible thing, but think about them. They had the presence of God with them, cloud by day, fire by night. It protected them. He dwelt in a tabernacle in their midst. He fully supplied to them, even during their disobedience. Everything they needed, manna, waters, their shoes, their clothes didn't wear out. The shoes of kids had to grow. I don't understand how that happened, but it didn't matter. But what was the end of result? They did not believe his words. That was the one big issue. And what was the impact of that? They were up, they were down, they were double-minded, they were tossed to and fro. That ought to remind you of some New Testament scriptures that can describe us. So let's go back and take a look in Hebrews, the third chapter. And I want to start in verse 5. It says, "Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for the testimonies of those things which were to be spoken later." That's why they're examples for us today, because he's living out a type of what we have today. But it says, "Christ, our Lord Jesus, was faithful as a son over the house whose house you and I are." Now notice these two words. We read, he was faithful over his house. "If we hold our fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." He's faithful, but we have to do something to make that work for us. And we're working from his grace, remember. Therefore, verse 7, just as the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you hear his voice," stop there. Did the children of Israel hear the voice of the Lord? Yes, clearly through Moses. What did the Lord say for them? "I have a land for you. It's a great land. It's a land where you can go and rest." So they've heard a word. But then verse 8 says, "Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me." And we're quoting from Psalm 95 here, about 7 through 13, I believe, 14 maybe. And it says, "Do not harden your hearts when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. And where your fathers," talking to the Jews, "your Hebrew fathers, tested me, even though they saw my works for 40 years. And what did that end up in? Lord got angry with them, verse 10 says, said they always went astray, where? In their heart. Can I just say this? That promise that they had of that land being theirs, except for two of them, really three with Moses, who was just kept from it because of disobedience. Except for two people in all of that nation who were adults. Those were the only two who really believed God had a plan. Because as they went around that mountain during the first 2 weeks, they couldn't see that plan. And it caused themselves to get hard in their hearts. And look at the rest of verse 10. It says, "And they did not know my ways," my word, my nature, my character. And what was the impact? Verse 11, "They shall not enter in to his rest." Now that rest, I believe, is talking more about the spiritual heart aspect than it is that place of rest, which was that land. Now, is there a relationship? Absolutely. But we have to be at rest in our heart with the plan of God for us. And then verse 12 continues, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be any time any one of you who would have an evil, unbelieving heart." So we see what a heart of rest is not. It is what? Full of unbelief, which will lead to the falling away from the living God. And then he says, and this is one that just reinforces what I said about faith buddies, "But encourage one another day after day." How often? Every day. Encourage yourself, certainly, just like David did. But encourage one another. Use your faith buddy. Build yourselves up together. "As long as it's still called today, lest you be hardened." So there's that hardening of the heart, which will lead to deceit, the devil's wiles, his road to your mind. It'll lead to thoughts that lead you away even to sin. And then 14, talking about believers, says, we have become partakers of Christ. And here's the phrase again, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, in other words, what we've been promised, what the Word says about us, His mercy, His love as those first two elements, until what? Hold firm our assurance, have that planted in our hearts so we know it until the very end. So while it said in verse 15, so he's saying this a second time, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they provoked me. Verse 16 asks the question, for who provoked him with what they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not those whose sins, whose body fell in the wilderness, and to whom he did swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were what? Disobedience. And then verse 19, where we're going to stop today, says, and so we see that they were not able to enter in, and I will add, to his rest, because of their unbelief. That's why I purport to you today that in our faith, while we're fighting, while we're standing, everything we do walking, we've got to be, even in our sitting with him, exercising our faith, holding firm on that, confident in his word, and be at his rest, in his rest. So what we're going to begin to see then is I would say to you that rest involves a contentment. And I'm also going to mention this, and an ability to grow in the Lord while you're waiting for manifestations, no matter what comes against you. It deals with confidence. And this is what you're going to see. Absolute confidence, peace, resting in Him, His Word, His character, His name. So we're going to pick up here next week and we'll begin to talk more about rest. And we're actually going to be reading a good part of chapter 4 as we continue talking about resting. Now, the thing I want to say to you today is God's desire for you and I is that we enter into His rest. Don't ever think that's a grace you're just got to fight for. It is. You're going to have to contend for it. You're going to see that next week. But it is His desire that we enter in to that rest. So you have a good week, and we'll be back next week at this same time as we delve further into the rest of faith.